Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
These sound like words that just about anybody could sign on to. God the Father, maker of heaven and earth. I mean, what kind of God is there out there? Whatever God a person believes in that isn't at least creator of everything. God isn't some sort of observer of creation. Almost any religious belief that you hold to will assert that God is creator. So when Christians confess, as they do in the Apostles' Creed and the other creeds, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, are we saying something that the Muslim can't say, the Mormon can't say? The Jew can't say? It's our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday afternoon, August the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. The first hour of the program on this Thursday afternoon, our Pastor's Roundtable on the Apostles' Creed, will deal with the first part. It's called the first article of the Creed. This means the first part of the Creed. I believe in God the Father. In the second hour of the program, Dr. John Seleska will join us. He has the privilege of concluding our nine-part daily series on the Lord's Prayer today. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and that all-important word that concludes the Lord's Prayer and most prayers, Amen. Dr. John Seleska will join us here in about an hour. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-6943, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us here in studio for our Pastor's Roundtable, Pastor Timothy Miller is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's in Covington, Illinois. He's a newbie here in the studios of LPR. Welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Pastor Steve Summerer joins us. He is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. Steve, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
And Pastor Charles Lehman joins us on the phone, rounding off our pastor's round table. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Charles, welcome back.
Great to be on.
Charles, is this the kind of creedal statement of belief that just about anyone can sign on to, Mormon, Muslim, Jew, whoever it may be? I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth.
I think that a lot of people would like to think that anyone who confesses a creator of any sort can accept that, but the real answer is no. And the reason for that is that you cannot confess God as Father unless you also confess the Son. Jesus himself makes this clear when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And this is borne out throughout the scriptures, particularly when our Lord and when the apostles are talking about what true worship is. One cannot know the Father apart from the way that he has revealed himself, and the primary way he's revealed himself is by sending his Son as our Savior.
So, Steve, this first part of the creed is particularly Christian. It sounds like that's what Pastor Lehman is saying. What do we mean when we say God the Father Almighty? What does that mean?
Well, we first, obviously, we're confessing that the great power God has, but that's, in a sense, that's obvious by the very nature of creation. Think of how God's revealed himself and look at the majesty of all the things around us. The fatherhood of God for us is revealed in his son, Jesus Christ, who became our brother, literally brother according to the flesh, that he shared our own flesh and blood. And as Charlie indicated there, that's how we call upon God as Father, through Christ, our brother, though sinless, like us in every way except without sin. Through his sufferings, death, and resurrection, he's paved the way for us to call upon God and to know him truly as our Father and a merciful God.
Pastor Miller, Luther begins his explanation in the Large Catechism of this by saying this creed, the first part of this creed, and the others that follow that we'll discuss in the coming weeks, is the church's confession and answer to the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." What does he mean by that?
The one true God, the one and only God, has, through his son Jesus, brought us into his family, made us his children. And as has already been said, the scriptures hardly know of God as Father apart from Jesus Christ, his son. And this is the one true God, the only God that there is. And he's invited us to call us Father through his son.
Pastor Lehman, this is where confusion often sets in for people. Even students of the Bible, they'll use the term God kind of as shorthand for either the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or for the Father. We're not so much accustomed to using that word God with a direct reference to Jesus, the second person, or the Holy Spirit, although it certainly qualifies. But when we say God, most people, the image that pops into their mind is the Father image. And yet it also refers to all three persons of the Trinity. Sort it out for us, if you would.
Well, sometimes the scriptures aren't entirely clear in how they are using the word God. Sometimes it's pretty clear that the scriptures are speaking of the Father. In fact, I think we can see that very clearly when our Lord is speaking of God. He is speaking of his Father. But whenever Jesus is speaking of God as his Father, this isn't a metaphor. It's not just an analogy to help us understand the relationship between Jesus and the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. It's actually the reality. Jesus is eternally Son, and the Father is eternally Father. And so sometimes, though it might not be entirely clear whether the word God is referring to the Trinity as a whole or a specific person of the Trinity, I think that when we read the scriptures, it can be made clear to us what we need to know, and in some of the places where it might not be so obvious, I think that perhaps the reason for that is that it's not necessary for it to be.
It shouldn't be necessary for us to do this, Steve, but we do need to make it very clear what the scriptures mean when they speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We use the word Trinity. It's a good label for what scripture describes here. But what do we mean when we say God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and what don't we mean?
Well, we don't. I think a lot of people hear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and interpret that we worship three gods, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three different gods that I guess work together on the same team. What we mean by that, and we use the language of three distinct persons in one divine essence. And that, too, a little bit going back to your last questions, is speaking the voice of Scripture. Sometimes it's frustrating, I think, to some people. They catch God the Father and wonder why it's not God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But there are clear places in Scripture, too, where Thomas, for instance, after the resurrection, "My Lord and my my God. Whenever Ananias and Sapphira are guilty of lying, they sin against the Holy Spirit. They haven't lied to men, but to God. So there is a clear confession, although not as clear in every passage, but a clear confession that the God that we worship is three distinct persons. And I think the form of the creed itself, the three articles, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, follows Jesus' own revelation in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples, baptizing in the name, not in the names of these three guys, but in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because they are three and distinct. God the Father didn't die, the Holy Spirit didn't die on the cross, Jesus did, and yet they're one.
Pastor Miller, with only a minute here before we take our break, why is it important that we not do this by partial measures, that someone says, well, I like the Father, or someone else says, I like Jesus? Why is it important that we confess and continue to confess the triune God? 1 minute before our break.
This is the one true God, the only God, and the only one who can and has saved us. There's no rescue apart from God the Father, who has begotten his Son from all eternity, and in time sent him into human flesh to live and suffer and die for us. And having completed his work, the Father and the Son now send the Spirit into the world. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and from all eternity proceeds from the Father and the Son, that the salvation which the Son has won might come to us, and we would have the benefits of it.
Pastor Timothy Miller is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington, Illinois, joined in studio for our Pastor's Roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of August, by Pastor Steve Summer, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, and on the phone from Accident, Maryland, where he serves as pastor of St. John Lutheran Church, Pastor Charles Lehman. We'll be right back. Here's your chance to win a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Email 10 friends the latest Issues Etc. YouTube video, and we'll register you to win a gift certificate from Concordia Publishing House. We'll announce the winner on August 28th. Just go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, copy and paste the video's embed code into an email, send it to 10 friends, relatives, or fellow parishioners. Be sure to send a carbon of your email with your name and address to talkback@issuesetc.org. Tell 10 friends about Issues Etc. and tune in on Friday, August the 28th to find out if you're the winner of a $100 gift certificate to Concordia Publishing House. Go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and send the Issues Etc. YouTube video to your friends.
The Faith Once for All Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts, perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Everyone's talking about the mission of the church. Is it possible to care more about evangelism than the evangel, the gospel? What's the relationship between the cross of Christ and the church's mission? And what can the Reformation teach us about the mission of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is Mission from the Cross. You can buy Mission from the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Mission from the Cross. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, the 13th of August. It's our regular Pastor's Roundtable. We're dealing with the Apostles' Creed, God the Father. Going on to talk about creation. It's one of the things that we confess God the Father has done. Of course, we never really can pigeonhole any person of the Trinity into one specific thing as though nothing else, there's no other job description for them. We'll get to that in just a moment. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE. Or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Listening in Kansas City, David is on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. I was just calling in with the observation that, you know, you were discussing how only a Christian can truly confess God the Father, maker of Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. And we know this also through his speech act. He does what he declares in his creation, which sets us up beautifully for the second article of redemption, that God declares us righteous by virtue of his Son.
That's a great observation. Pastor Lehman, your thoughts on David's observation there?
I think that it's an absolutely fantastic observation. I think we can see this already just in the first three verses of the Scriptures, where in the beginning God creates the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the Spirit is hovering over the waters. And then in verse 3, God speaks, "Let there be light." And the very act of speaking is the act of creation. Life is created simply because the Lord says that it is created. And the word that God speaks is Christ. And so the whole universe is created out of nothing, and the very same thing happens when we receive faith. God creates faith and life and salvation where there is only sin and death.
So it sounds like, Tim, there's a pattern set here in the activity. I think the caller said speech act, where God declares something to be and something is. There's a pattern there set for how God works with us, not only to create but also to save us?
You can certainly see the similarity, can't you? God says, "Let there be light," and there is light. And St. Paul refers to this in 2 Corinthians about God who made light shine out of darkness has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The same God who out of nothing created all things is the same God who has spoken through the gospel in our hearts, the message that shines on the crucified and risen Christ to give us faith as something out of nothing.
Pastor Sommer, is a similar connection between creation and redemption being made in the very first chapter of John's gospel, where John talks about in the beginning was the Word, and then it goes on to eventually end with this Word becoming flesh and being our salvation?
I think that's exactly what's going on, and goes back to the heart of why Jesus came to be, and St. Paul picks up that language more of Christ as the second Adam in the beginning of the new creation, that everything that was destroyed when Adam and Eve fell into sin and plunged the world into sin and death, that Christ has come to restore, and he is that Word that God speaks over his creation, really the beginning of the absolution that belongs to all of us or is received by all of us through faith in Jesus Christ.
All right, let's deal with one of the alternative explanations for everything that is. The Creed says God created it, and in that way directs us back to those chapters that we've already referred to, the first couple chapters of Genesis, where the creation account is given to us in a very simple form. Pastor Miller, does the Bible permit us to entertain these radically different explanations for where we came from, where all this came from, such as evolution or the variance on that theory?
There's nothing in the Scriptures that points to that at all. Scriptures point to God as the creator of all things and human beings as especially created by God. And to try to fit evolutionary theories into what the Scriptures say, it just doesn't work.
Pastor Lehman, some people look for a halfway house. They say, okay, look, evolution, rank godless evolution, is not something I can buy into. But you know as well as I do, there are a lot of Christians who say, I go for kind of the God-filled evolution, that God is there doing this, and if we read those first couple chapters of Genesis carefully enough, we could see how it might be referring to God guiding this process of evolution along toward the end of what we find in creation. Is that possible?
No, absolutely not. There are two major problems with it and a bunch that flow from those two. The first is that kind of approach simply doesn't take the very words of God in Genesis seriously, or the words of the rest of the scriptures. I think particularly helpful is looking at how Moses himself interprets Genesis 1 in the way that he writes down the Ten Commandments. In the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, Moses' explanation for that is, for in 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and he blessed the seventh day when he rested on it. And so basically Moses is saying the 6 days of creation are the 6 days of our work week. It is a direct analogy. The day of Genesis 1 is the day of our work week. And then the second problem, which I think is even more significant in some ways, is that in order to have any sort of evolutionary design or process to creation, you have to have millions and millions of years of death before the fall into sin. And if the cause of death is not our sin, then Jesus' death on the cross is not an answer to our sin.
So in other words, whether you want to dwell in the halfway house of theistic evolution, or you want to go all the way and just go for the godless evolutionary explanation, your real problem theologically is found there at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that always seems to be the thing that Satan attacks?
It's kind of a roundabout attack. Pastor Miller.
Well, going along with that, you know, if evolutionary teaching is true, then in theistic evolution, that things came into being by this billions of year process directed by God somehow, then God is the author and the source of evil and death. But the scriptures tell a radically different story, that God created everything good, and it is man's sin that plunged the world into such trouble and misery that we have. And Christ is the redeemer of man, and in him all creation will be redeemed.
Pastor Summerer, this is getting harder and harder to believe nowadays. Maybe it has always been this hard to believe. But as strong and pervasive as the theory of evolution seems to be, even in our kind of common everyday thinking, that even Christians who know better think this way sometimes. We were recently, my family and I, on vacation at the Smoky Mountains, and you find yourself accidentally thinking things like, boy, these great rock formations, how many millions of years ago did this happen? I know better, I believe better, but I find myself thinking that way.
Yeah, we're inundated with it. They're even in the most meaningless references to evolution and millions and billions of years in comedies you watch on TV, that's language kind of is, I guess, insinuates itself in there. And I really think that that's not an accident. It's an ideology that they know carries with it a godlessness. It's inevitably tends toward us not looking to see our gracious God at work in the world around us, and ultimately, certainly not seeing him in the work of redeeming the world through Jesus, the Son. So it's, I think about evolution and, is it possible to be a Christian and an evolutionist? If it is, it's by accident, because everything that we know and understand about God, he's revealed to us in Christ, but also in that revelation we have in scriptures. And once you've undermined the foundation of Genesis, you've also undermined, as I said before, the Christ who came to be the second Adam. And Jesus himself, I guess Matthew 19, maybe he's not affirming a six he doesn't say the sixth day or that kind of language, but he talks about Adam and Eve, and that's how it was in the beginning. And a Christian is on, I think, very perilous turf whenever he goes against that. It's almost, if you're willing to say Jesus was wrong about that, you don't have a perfect Savior anymore. And if you've got a flawed Savior, you don't have much of a Savior at all.
When we come back from this break, we're going to continue our conversation with our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon, the 13th of August, talking about God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Now, I was going to say, going into this break, that there's another alternative that's older and perhaps not believed by as many people, this notion that God did create everything, but he's kind of taken the hands-off approach from that point on. They call it deism, but it's not a thing of the past. In fact, if we look at the latest research of what young people believe, young Christian people believe, those who profess to be Christians, they're deists. They believe that God pretty much leaves us alone. He's out there. He made everything. He got everything started, did a pretty good job, but now we're more or less on our own, and he is simply watching from a distance. We'll respond to that on the other side of the break. It's our Pastor's Roundtable Thursday afternoon, July the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. The leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. Stay informed. Read the new broadcast transcripts on this subject. You'll find them at the top of the on-demand page at issuesetc.org. These transcripts are a must-read for every layperson and pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit the CLCC.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The governor of North Dakota signed a law requiring a woman who seeks an abortion be offered the opportunity to see an ultrasound of her unborn baby and hear the heartbeat. It's not forced, just offered. Well, the Red River Women's Clinic, the state's only abortion mill, is suing to keep the law from going into effect. Why is an organization that claims to be pro-choice and there to help women doing everything it can to keep them in the dark at such a critical time? It's because they're afraid women will see their babies on ultrasound, choose life, and the abortion mill will lose a paying customer. It's called the abortion industry for a reason. In this case, they want to prevent women from being informed so they can keep their cash register ringing.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's interesting, in the course of our conversation on creation, we keep on going again and again and again to the cross of Jesus Christ, to the message of salvation. You can't really isolate God the Father from His Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, as they are not only creating but working toward the ultimate purpose of all of this, which is our salvation. That's the theme also of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, called Mission from the Cross. That's where the mission begins. That's where the mission is carried out. That's what the mission is. The cross is the mission of the church. And don't let anyone tell you any different. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, called Mission from the Cross. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Or you can order Mission from the Cross by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, on our pastor's roundtable, Pastor Charles Lehman, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland, Pastor Steve Summer, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois,
and Pastor Timothy Miller, who's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington, Illinois. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. There's another belief about God that you would have thought was left in the annals of history. Very popular at the founding of our nation at the time of the Enlightenment, about 200, 300 years ago, called deism, where God is kind of the watchmaker God. He very skillfully puts this creation together. He winds it up, and then it runs under its own momentum, its own steam. And he is more or less dispassionate and observing the events of man. He does not intervene in the lives of men. A lot of deists in the world about 300 years ago, and there are a lot today. Pastor Lehman, the latest research from a researcher who wrote a book called Soul Searching indicates that if you simply look at the beliefs of young people today, many of them Christian, he said they fall into the category of therapeutic, moralistic deists, not even theists. They are deists in their beliefs about God. How do we respond to this belief?
Well, I think that one of the things that becomes most clear when we pay close attention to the scriptures is that people don't really like God messing with their affairs. They want a God that they can kind of keep in a cage, keep at arm's length, keep out of their business. And deism is a great system to do that with. If you're a deist, you have a God who got it all going and then, you know, was hands off after that. But again, this is something that attacks at the very heart of the Christian faith, because if God does not involve himself in history, if he just sets the clock going and then leaves it alone, then you can't have a cross. You can't have a Savior who comes into the world and gets in the muck with the rest of us and then ultimately bears our sin to the cross and forgives it there and wins life and salvation for us and for all the world. If you have a deistic approach, you absolutely cannot have a Savior.
The deistic approach, Pastor Summer, is to say, okay, here's God at the beginning and at the end. He will judge men, individual men, by their lives, and it will be kind of the scales of dispassionate justice. Good deeds weighed against evil deeds. And I guess the goal at the end in front of the deist God is to simply have more good than evil and then hope for the appropriate reward. How does that differ from the Father, the Creator, that we're confessing here in the Creed?
Well, and like what Charles said there, and the reality of it is we're all, in our sinful nature, we're all kind of inclined toward that functional deism at some point where maybe even as a Christian, I know God's the Creator and he preserves all things. And then from day to day, I kind of function like I think I'm pretty much in charge of it. I can control whatever's going on in my life, which, then the world disabuses me of that at some point. And I remember, oh, I can go back to God in prayer. So it's a difficult struggle for us to always remember God as the Creator and preserver of all things. The great thing about ultimately for people like me that function as deists and or function as people who forget the glory of God and his presence in my life is that in Christ, he hasn't asked me to set my paltry puny works in the scales and said, you balance it yourself. If that were the case, you know, I've got this mountain of sin piled up on one side. My good works can't even make a dent in that. But God's chosen in the person of Christ to throw into the scales his assumed human nature as true God, Jesus Christ, came and set in the scales for me. And that infinite love of Christ, that infinite merit of Christ's work is so overwhelming that it can even overwhelm my seemingly, though finite weight of sins. Jesus did it for me. That's the great promise that we have with our Father in heaven who recreates in his Son.
Okay, Pastor Miller, let's talk a bit about the way that Luther explains not only creation, but he would use the word preservation, perhaps, provision. And he makes it sound like God's not just occasionally dropping things down from heaven on us as we need them. He is intimately mixed up in the things of this world to provide me with, I mean, he makes a list of things like shoes, clothes, just the kind of things that I think, if I need shoes, I'll go to the mall and buy them. I don't need God for that. Luther says, no, yes, you do. Why does he make it so detailed like that?
Well, the Lord is providing for us richly and daily all that we need for this body and life. He is not the God who has walked away from us, but the provider. All things hold together in him, and if he would withdraw his hand for even an instant, the universe would collapse. There's no life, there's no ongoing creation without his sustaining hand.
Pastor Lehman, I'm outside last night watching a meteor shower. I think it was one of the last good nights to watch this thing that happens every year. I know, you missed it. And so I'm out there, and I didn't get the best view, but I got to see five or six of these things. A couple were really spectacular. And if you think about this, you know, the Earth passing through this cloud of just basically sand, you know, thrown off of a comet 130 years ago. We just pass through it every year, same time of the year, creating this beautiful display in the sky. And Pastor Lehman, I was thinking last night, these little grains of dust and sand, God's, he knows where they're at. He knows where they've always been. There's not an atom in the universe that God isn't keeping track of. And it boggles the mind to think that such a creator, who, as Pastor Miller says, holds everything together, actively holds everything together, not the forces of nature, but his word, would be concerned about somebody like me in this vast universe.
When I was in college almost 20 years ago, I took a class in astronomy, and one of the activities that Dr. Brott had us do is we took these little globes and sat them out on the football field in the place where the planets would be kind of in scale. And the sun, oh, it was probably 2-3 feet across, and then you go out a few yards, and you got Mercury, and then Venus, and then Earth, and then Mars, and then we would have had to go across town for Jupiter and the rest of them. And I remember I was a guy who had Earth, and Earth was about the size of my fist. And I said, Dr. Brott, isn't it amazing that, you know, we would just be a couple of atoms high if we were on this model. I mean, we'd be so tiny. And he said, yep. And what's even more amazing is that Christ would have died for that person who is just a couple of atoms high. Sometimes people say that Christians are arrogant to say that God would care so much about us puny humans on this planet in a backwards galaxy in the middle of nowhere. But I think what the Christian sees when we think about these things is the immensity of God's love and how he would become a human being to die to save human beings, even though if we do look at ourselves in the scheme of a whole universe, we are pretty insignificant.
I can't help but think, Pastor Miller, about those words of Scripture, and I can't remember where they come from right off the top of my head. But what is man that thou art mindful of him? There's the psalmist looking around with a far more limited view, I think, scientifically, of the world around him than we would have today by benefit of science. And he's stunned that God is mindful of sinful human beings like us.
Right. And I believe that's Psalm 8, and it's also a psalm in the book of Hebrews that is used to refer to Christ. But that God would love us so much is mind-boggling.
Is that why he put us in the vastness of this creation, this extravagantly overdone creation, so that we should see his great love and mercy toward us as small and insignificant as we are in the scale of things? About 30 seconds.
Well, all these gifts of God in the first article are certainly signs meant to point us to heaven, to the Lord himself. that he gives us salvation and life in his son, Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he said it was a sign. And we don't receive our daily bread in such a miraculous fashion, humanly speaking, but it's still from the Lord, and he wants us to direct our attention to the Lord for life eternal, not just bodily.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about that. He cares for us in both spiritual and physical things. Stay tuned.
Surrender myself to you, body and soul.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click On Demand Audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand Audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org. And click On Demand Audio.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
To Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click promote and publicize your congregation to the world.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable on this Thursday afternoon. We're talking about God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. 10 minutes left for your questions and comments as well. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. My IE. You'll find some resources on the Apostles' Creed posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Okay, what's the problem? And I think this is probably another one we need to deal with before we go on to God providing everything for us as he does. What's the problem with thinking of God only as creator and kind of excising this part from the rest of the creed? Pastor Summerer.
Well, God invites us to call upon him in prayer. Prayer becomes kind of a meaningless exercise. Going to our Lord, it really rends that union God wants to have with his creation. You even see back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve that close fellowship God wants to have with his people. And is reinitiated in Jesus, our Savior. That view of detachment, that God's has nothing, wants nothing to do with us in this world, or that it's insignificant whether we have a relationship with him, goes against what he's created his people for, namely to be redeemed and to be one with him.
Now, Pastor Miller, your response to Don in Kansas, who emails us with this, he says, "We need to get back to Luther's Small Catechism and teach the attributes of God. If young people know the attributes of God, they will not have a problem understanding the power of God to create the world. So many people think that God is an old grandfather who sits in the sky and smiles at sin and is not in control of this world. If God is not in control, then man tries to take control and makes a disaster of everything. Your thoughts on Don's observation there?
Well, Scripture does reveal to us many attributes of God, and they describe who he is and what he does in wonderful ways, and yet they can't tell us the whole picture. I mean, I think in the Catechism it lists about 13 attributes, and it says he is these and all of these and more than these. But that's a good point, that if we would appreciate and understand better his power, his love, his mercy, his grace, it would help us when it comes to believing the doctrine of creation.
Well, along those lines, nowadays I think people think of God as a teddy bear almost. Those attributes are completely disregarded. Everybody fashions him in his own image, and God is the great grandfather. You sit in his lap, but there is no justice. There is no all the things that, you know, the catechism, the attributes that he describes, the holiness of God. We really have a distorted picture of God. He starts to look an awful lot like us.
He starts looking like Dr. Phil, right? or like President Obama, or like Santa Claus, or something else. And at the same time, Pastor Lehman, why can't, as Pastor Miller insinuated there, why can't God simply be the sum of all the attributes? If we could list them all, then we know who this God is. Why is that insufficient, especially in terms of the Christian faith?
Well, I would say that it's insufficient because it's impersonal. If we actually stick to the portion of our catechism that Luther wrote, we'll find very little discussion of, you know, the holiness or the justice or the, you know, whichever attribute you want to choose of God. But what we will find is we will find Luther giving these beautiful descriptions of what God does. For example, here in the first article, he has created me and all creatures. There's nowhere in the attributes where you say God has created me and all creatures, and that he, you know, provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. The impersonal God that we know on the basis of his attributes could be confessed by a Jew or a Muslim. It could become that perverted view of the first article that we kind of opened our conversation with today, something that anyone could hold on to. But our God is very personal, and he doesn't allow himself to be transcendent in a way that makes it so that he has nothing to do with us as human beings.
Okay, here's a quote, and I want you to explain it to me, Pastor Lehman. This is Luther writing an explanation to this article we've been talking about near the end. He says, "Therefore, this article ought to humble and terrify us all if we believed it. For we sin daily with eyes, ears, hands, body, and soul, money, possessions, and everything we have, especially those who even fight against the Word of God. Yet Christians have this advantage, that they acknowledge themselves in duty, bound to serve God for all these things, and obedient to him, which the world doesn't know how to do. Therefore, we ought daily to practice this article." What in the world is he talking about?
Well, in the first portion of that quotation, I think that Luther is simply confessing the fact that if we consider God's immense power that is revealed in the first article, that there is no reasonable response we can have other than terror. If God created the entire universe by his word, then he can destroy us by a word, and we are entirely at his mercy. But moving on a little further than that, Christians are the only ones who can confess this first article without being in complete terror, because we also know all of the other things that Luther says in his explanation of this article about God's gracious provision for us. And I think when we consider how do we practice this article, I think there are two ways. One, we receive the good gifts of creation that the Lord gives to us, and also that we be his instrument, his hands, by which he gives those good gifts to the rest of creation. You know, if you're a farmer, grow lots of food to feed lots of people. If you're a policeman, keep people safe. You know, whatever God has given you to do in his creation, he is using you to accomplish his ends.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Accident, Maryland. Charles, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest.
It was a pleasure to be on.
Pastor Steve Summers, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Carlisle, Illinois. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Todd.
And Pastor Timothy Miller is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington, Illinois. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Blessings on your work.
Folks, we are frequently asked and scheduling topics and guests the day of the show. We have a new way that you can be better informed on what's coming up on Issues, etc. Radio is a last-minute business. That means if you want to know what's coming up, sometimes it's just that day, sometimes it's a week in advance. Check out our fan page at Facebook. We've already got probably coming up on 1,500 fans there on our fan page there at Facebook. Go to facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find our Issues Etc. fan page there. You'll be able to interact with other Issues Etc. fans, get some of those updates. We even have pictures. In fact, we'll have a picture of our pastor's roundtable there this afternoon, maybe within about 15 minutes if I can multitask well enough in the next hour. And you can find it at our fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back from this break, hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. John Seleska of the Concordia Bible Institute will join us. We'll conclude our 9-part daily series on the Lord's Prayer today. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, and that all-important word, amen, coming up after the break. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. I think that God has placed us, as I think Pastor Lehman said, kind of in this back corner of a vast universe, an insignificant place. I think it's good that science has shown us that we're not the center of the universe. The Earth is not the center of all things. Nothing orbits around the Earth except that old moon, which doesn't do much except reflect some light. The rest of the universe is all going about its business on its own course. And here we are, off in a corner, a place where if you were creating the world, would you put man off in the distance? No. And in every direction we look, there's more and more of it. In fact, the farther we look, the farther back we look, we see more and more of this that God created not so long ago by the power of his word. Now, that's staggering. But more staggering than that is that this God, who by a simple fiat, a simple word, could spin all of this into existence and sustains it every day. We think the forces of nature are powerful, the forces that drive the sun that burns in the sky for, scientists say, billions of years. You think those forces are powerful. Far more powerful is this God. And yet this powerful God has used his power in the weakness of the cross to overcome sin and death in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, for us. That is marvelous. Stay tuned through the break for Hour 2 of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.